until the crow dispelled his frenzied chatter with a wave of her frail arms.
"Not the fighting," she said. "The fighting I've seen. I could paint a picture of the fighting and hang it from my walls. What of Rodney? What of our boy? Has he got them? Has he made them pay?"
She made a small fist and held it aloft. "No," Mission said.
"Got who?"
"He needs our help." The crow laughed, which took him aback. He tried to explain.
"I gave him your note, and he passed me one in return. It begged for help. They have him locked up behind these great steel doors."
"Not locked up," the crow said.
"Like he's done something wrong."
"Something right," she said, correcting him. Mission fell silent. He could see knowledge shining behind her old eyes, a sunrise on the day after a cleaning.
"Rodney is in no danger," she said. "He is with the old books. He's with the people who took the world from us."
Ali squeezed Mission's arm.
"She's been trying to tell us," she whispered. "Everything's going to be okay. Come, help with the desks."
"But the note," Mission said, wishing he hadn't turned it to confetti.
"The note you gave him was to give him strength, to let him know it was time to begin. Our boy is in a place to hurt them good for what they've done."
There was a wildness in the crow's eyes.
"No," Mission said. "Rodney was afraid. I know my friend, and he was afraid of something."
The crow's face hardened. She relaxed her fist and smoothed the front of her faded dress.
"If that be the case," she said, her voice trembling, "then I judged him most wrongly."
Chapter 56. The dim time approached while they arranged desks, and the crow resumed her singing. Ali told him a curfew had been announced, and so Mission lost hope that the others would show up that night. They pulled out mats from the cubbies to rest and plan, and decided to give the others until daybreak. There was much Mission wanted to ask the crow, but she seemed distracted, her thoughts elsewhere, possessed with a joyousness that made her giddy. Frankie felt certain he could get them through security and deeper into IT if only he could reach his father. Mission told them how well he'd been able to move about with the whites on. Maybe he could reach Frankie's dad in a pinch. Ali produced fresh fruits, harvested from her plot, and passed them around. The crow drank one of her dark green concoctions. Mission grew restless. He wandered out to the landing, torn between his waiting for the others and his anxiety to get going. For all he knew, Rodney was being marched up to his death already. Cleanings tended to settle people down, to follow bouts of unrest, but this was unlike any of the spates of violence that he had seen before. This was the burning his father spoke of, the embers of distrust and crumbling trade that jumped up all at once. He had seen this coming, but it had approached with the swiftness of a knife plummeting from the up top. Out on the landing, he heard the sounds of a mob echoing from far below. Holding the landing rail, he could feel the hum of marching boots. He returned to the others and said nothing of it. There was no reason to suspect those boots were coming for them. Ali looked as though she'd been crying when he got back. Her eyes were moist, her cheeks flushed. The crow was telling them an old time story, her hands painting a scene in the air.
"Is everything all right?" Mission asked.
Ali shook her head, as if she'd rather not say.
"What is it?" he said.
He held her hand, heard the crow speaking of Atlantis, another tale of the crumbling and lost city of magic beyond the hills, a bygone day when those ruins shone like a wet dime.
"Tell me," he said. He wondered if the stories were affecting her the way they sometimes did him, making her sad and not knowing why.
I didn't want to say anything until after, she cried, fresh tears welling up.
She wiped them away and the crow fell silent, her hands dropping into her lap. Frankie sat quietly. Whatever it was, the two of them knew as well.
Father, Mission said. It had to do with his father. He was gone. He knew it instantly.
Ali was close to his father in a way that Mission had never been. And suddenly he felt a powerful regret for ever having left home. While she wiped her eyes, the words unable to form on her trembling lips, Mission imagined himself on his hands and knees in the dirt, digging for forgiveness.
Ali bawled, and the crow hummed a tune of above-ground days. Mission thought of his father, gone, all he longed to say, and wanted nothing more than to hurl himself at the posters on the walls, to tear them down and rip to shreds their urgings to go and be free.
It's Riley,
Ali finally said.
Mish, I'm so sorry.
The crow ceased her humming. All three of them watched him.
No,
Mission whispered.
You shouldn't have told him,
Frankie began.
He ought to know, Ali demanded. His father would want him to know.
Mission gazed at a poster of green hills and blue skies, that world blurred with tears as surely as it might with dust.
What happened?
He whispered. She told him that there'd been an attack on the farms. Riley had begged to go and help fight, had been told no, and had then disappeared. He'd been found with a knife from the kitchen still clutched in his hands. Mission stood and paced the room, tears splashing from his cheeks. He shouldn't have left. He should have been there. He hadn't been there for Cam either. Death preceded him in all the places he couldn't be. He had done the same to his mother, and now the end was coming for them all. A rumble grew from the landing and filled the hallway, the sound of approaching boots. Mission wiped his cheeks. He'd given up on any of the others coming and thought it might be security with their guns. They would ask him where his own gun was before realizing he was an imposter, before shooting them all. He pushed the door shut, saw that the crow had no lock on the thing, and wedged a desk under the handle. Frankie hurried to Ali, told her to get behind the crow's desk. He grabbed the back of the crow's wheelchair, the overhead wire swinging dangerously, but she insisted she could manage herself, that there was nothing to be afraid of. Mission knew better. This was security coming for them. Security, or some other mob. He traveled the stairwell, knew what was out there. There was a knock on the door. The handle jiggled. The boots outside quieted as they gathered around. Frankie pressed his finger to his lips, his eyes wide. The wire overhead creaked as it swung back and forth. The door budged. Mission hoped for a moment that they would go away, that they were just making their rounds. He thought about hiding under the sheets used to cover the desks, but the thought came too late. The door was shoved open, a desk screeching as it skittered across the room. The first person through was Rodney. His appearance was as sudden and jarring as a slapped cheek. Rodney wore white overalls with the creases still in them. His hair had been cut short, his face newly shaved, a nick on his chin. Mission felt as though he were staring into a mirror, the two of them in costume. More men in white crowded behind Rodney in the hallway, rifles in hand. Rodney ordered them back and stepped into the room, where all those empty desks lay neatly arranged. Ali was the first to respond. She gasped with surprise and hurried forward, arms wide as if for an embrace. Rodney held up a palm and told her to stop. His other hand held a small gun, the same the deputies wore.
His eyes were not on his friends, but on the old crow.
Rodney, Mission began.
His brain attempted to grasp his friend's presence. They'd all come together to rescue him, but he looked in little need of it.
The door, Rodney said over his shoulder.
A man twice Rodney's age hesitated before doing as he was asked and pulling the door shut. This was not the demeanor of a prisoner. Frankie lurched forward before the door shut all the way, calling,
Father!
As if he'd seen his old man in the hall with the others.
We were coming for you, Mission said.
He wanted to approach his friend, but there was something dangerous in Rodney's eyes.
Your note...
Rodney finally looked away from the crow.
We were coming to help, Mission said.
Yesterday, I needed it, Rodney said.
He circled around the desks, the gun at his side, his eyes flicking from face to face. Mission backed up and joined Ali in standing close to the crow. Whether to protect her or feel protected, he couldn't say.
You shouldn't be here,
Mrs. Crow said with a lecturing tone.
This is not where your fight is. You should be hurting them.
A thin finger pointed at the door. The gun in Rodney's hand rose a little.
What are you doing?
Ali asked, her wide eyes on the gun. Rodney pointed at the crow.
Tell them, he said. Tell them what you've done. What you do.
What have they done to you?
Mission asked. His friend had changed. It was more than the haircut and uniform. It was in his eyes.
They showed me.
Rodney swept his gun at the posters on the wall. That these stories are true. He laughed and turned to the crow.
And I was angry, just like you said I would be.
Angry at what they did to the world. I wanted to tear it all down.
So do it, the crow insisted. Hurt them.
Her voice creaked like a door about to slam.
But now I know. They told me. We got a call. And now I know what you've been doing here.
What's this about?
Frankie asked, still in the middle of the room. He moved toward the door.
Why is my father...
Stay, Rodney told him. He pushed one of the desks out of the way and moved down the aisle.
Don't you move.
His gun swung from Frankie to the crow, whose chair shivered in time with her palsied hand. These sayings on the wall, the stories and songs...
You made us what we are. You made us angry. You should be, she screeched. You damn well should be.
Mission moved closer to the crow. He kept his eye on the gun. Ali knelt and held the old woman's hand. Rodney stood 10 paces away, the gun angled at their feet.
They kill and they kill, the crow said. And this will go the way it always has. Wipe it all clean. Bury and burn the dead. And these desks.
Her arm shot up, her quivering finger aimed at the empty desks newly arranged.
These desks will be full again.
No,
Rodney said. He shook his head.
No more. It ends here.
You won't terrify us anymore.
What are you saying? Mission asked.
He stepped close to the crow, a hand on her chair.
You're the one with the gun, Rodney. You're the one scaring us.
Rodney turned to Mission. She makes us feel this way. Don't you see? The fear and hope go hand in hand. What she sells is no different than the priests, only she gets to us first. This talk of a better world. It just makes us hate this one.
No.
Mission hated his friend for uttering such a thing.
Yes, Rodney said.
Why do you think we hate our fathers? It's because she makes us hate them, gives us ideas to break free from them.
But this won't make it better.
He waved his hand. Not that it matters. What I knew yesterday had me terrified for my life, for all of us. What I know now gives me hope.
His gun came up. Mission couldn't believe it. His friend pointed the barrel at the old crow.
Wait! Mission raised a hand. Stand back, Rodney said. I have to do this. No!
His friend's arm stiffened. The barrel was leveled at a defenseless woman in a mechanical chair, the mother to them all, the one who sang them to sleep in their cribs and on their mats, whose voice followed them through their shadowing days and beyond.
Frankie shoved the desk aside and lurched toward Rodney. Ali screamed. Mission threw himself sideways as the gun roared and flashed. There was a punch to his stomach.